Following audio drama is rated PG for parental guidance. You should experience lots of explosions with no body parts. Parents should be ready to cover their ears.
They don't appear to be
This is a Lucas Steve Audio production, where entertainment is always free.
And now, it's time for the Broken Sea Audio Production, OTR Swag Cast.
Welcome back to the Swag Cast. I'm your host, Chris Barnes. I'm stealing the chair from Bill Holweg. On tonight's show, we have John Steele, Adventurer. John Steele, Adventurer aired as a weekly programme full of suspense and hard, fast action. Don Douglas played our hero, John Steele, who treks sweaty-browed through jungles and deserts, fighting lions and saving women. Thrilling indeed. Don Douglas sounds a bit like Indiana Jones come Harrison Ford. This was in fact made in 1949, but without any of the supernatural stuff. Just high adventure, evil ex-Nazis, and, well, pulp gold. Also tonight, more from the Avengers. Our first episode, John Steele, Adventurer, Cargo Unknown.
Take one man with a horn of fruit and another with a horn of hate. Put them in an open boat with a beautiful woman. That's the story, Cargo Unknown, taken from the files of John Steele, Adventurer.
Hello, friends. This is John Steele. And how are you tonight?
Oh, is that so?
Well, don't worry, we'll take care of that for you. Because this week, friends, we have another tale of adventure. This is one of those unusual stories. A yarn that leaves you doing some serious thinking. And a lot of wondering, too. So I suggest that you relax for a moment before I introduce this week's guest. The reason? A simple one. Once my friend Lou Cardone starts his story, you'll find it very difficult to relax. Well, enough of me. Here is Lou Cardone, a man with an aeroplane and ideas. Lou?
You've heard the old saw about strange bedfellows. Well, I've got one that really takes a cake. I guess it started right after I came home from the war. Been a fighter pilot with the 8th in England for 2.5 years and finally got relieved after my 71st mission. A little flak happy, but who wasn't? I couldn't settle down, still wanted that old excitement. One day I read in the paper where XGIs could pick up surplus ships for a song, and that started me thinking. Scraped up all I could, bought me a sweet little twin-engine trainer, and I was in business. Job was slow at first, but I wasn't fussy as long as there was money in it. Well, one day I was out in the hangar cleaning up the ship. Pressure went out on the hydraulic system the night before, and I had to crank the flaps and landing gear down by hand. I was checking to find a leak where I was losing pressure.
Are you Lou Cardone?
Yeah? Sorry, mister, can't hear you.
I said, are you Mr. Cardone?
Wait a minute. Hey, Cutter, Joe.
Yeah.
Cutter! What did you say?
I said, you're Mr. Cardone, are you not?
Yeah, it's me.
I would like to talk to you.
Okay, mister.
No, I do not mean here, outside someplace.
Sorry, mister, I haven't got the time.
I assure you it will be worth your while.
Oh, that way, huh? Okay, okay.
Break it, Joe. Be back in a minute.
Right.
Follow me.
Thank you.
Didn't catch your name.
I didn't say it.
Well?
Gunther. Joseph Gunther.
Okay, Mr. Gunther, what's on your mind?
I hoped we could find someplace more private.
I've made a lot of deals standing right here.
Very well. I have followed your career with great interest, Mr. Cardone.
Get to the point.
You are a very capable young man.
Go on.
Your advertisement in the paper first attracted my attention.
Yeah.
The Anything Anywhere airline.
That's just the name I got tagged with.
I went through the trouble of having you investigated.
Well?
By my own men, of course. We discovered several things of interest.
Such as?
On March 2nd, you loaded a cargo of bowls of assorted materials. Your destination was recorded as Municipal Airport, Chicago. At 5:30 on the afternoon of the 23rd, you landed at a small airport outside of Las Cruces, Mexico, and made delivery to a representative of Rogers Packing Company.
So what's wrong with flying material to Mexico?
Your cargo was not assorted materials. Rolled inside the bowls were art treasures, valued at over $100,000.
Your men are pretty efficient.
The order was placed on me. On the 18th, you loaded a cargo of canned food. Same destination and deliver.
Another of your orders?
Yes. Scattered through the cans and sealed inside them was over $1 million in jewels and precious stones. Shall I go on?
You've made your point. What's next?
We had to be sure of our man, Mr. Cardone. Very sure.
The cargoes were delivered.
And you were well paid.
Well?
The next delivery is to Argentina.
Hey, that's a long hop. What's a cargo?
A man. Will 10,000 be enough?
Pretty important guy, eh?
Yes.
Why is he so hot?
Let us say he has disagreed with the authorities.
I like money, but I like free air, too.
20,000.
Argentina. It's a lot of open water flying. I'd need wing tanks. That means questions. Oh, I don't like it. You better plan.
I have gone this far, Mr. Cardone. I cannot take no for an answer.
You've got the wrong boy, Mr. Gunther. Sorry,
I don't like to have to point out that I have a complete record of your activities over the past year. Administration would find it interesting reading, I'm sure.
The publicity will look good on you, too.
I've been careful about that. You underestimate me.
So it's that way.
Yes.
20 grand?
When can you leave?
There's a lot to be done. End of the week.
No later. I will get in touch with you about the details.
Okay.
I knew you would see this my way, Mr. Cardone.
Yeah. Yeah. I worked round the clock for the next few days, canceled all my other jobs, and just stuck close to the hangar. I'd have worked 30 hours a day for 20,000 bucks. A lot of the stuff could be done during daylight without starting too many questions, but I did most of the important work at night. It was the old excitement, just like the war days. I installed the wing tanks and checked the ship from stem to stern. Then I moved in all the equipment, picked up a 12-foot life raft, and was careful to see it was completely outfitted. Wasn't taking any chances. It was all set in 4 days. And Gunther phoned and set 5 o'clock the next morning as takeoff time.
You are punctual, Cardone.
For 20 grand, I'd miss my own funeral.
There's no time to waste. These are your passengers.
You said one.
It does not matter. There are two.
Well, the ship's heavy as she stands.
It will make it.
But a woman,
I'm not afraid.
Okay, in you go. Here, let me help you.
I'm quite capable, thank you.
Have it your own way. Your turn, Mr.
Stand up.
Can he talk?
The bandages, a precaution.
He must be hot. Now, bags next. This one stays too heavy.
It must go.
You want us to pile up at the end of the field?
Does not matter, Gunther.
Very well, madame.
I'll be back for my 20,000.
I will contact you when you return.
Now see that you do. You want to come up front for the takeoff, miss? Or is it, madam?
Miss. Miss Tauber. Yes, thank you. I would like to.
Well, maybe this won't be such a bad jaunt after all.
Beg your pardon?
Oh, nothing. Now, there, you sit in that one. You make it okay? Good. Hang on, Miss Talbot. Here we go.
Wave goodbye to your boyfriend. Come on, baby, lift a little. Come on, sugar, act nice for Pappy.
Will we make it?
Your guess is as good as mine. Come on, you old hag. Gotta do better than this.
Watch out for those trees.
Oh, that's my sweetheart. Knew you wouldn't let me down.
You ever have that funny feeling that you've seen a metatotal stranger someplace before? That was my reaction to Stender the first time I saw him. I couldn't pin it down to any particular time or place. It wasn't anything as concrete as that. We'd been in the air for about 6 hours when I put the ship on automatic pilot and went aft. You comfortable, Mr. Stender?
Right, Mr. Cardone.
Must be a relief to get those bandages off.
They served their purpose.
The water looks beautiful from up here. Like burnished metal.
I've seen that color before.
Where?
On the barrel of a rifle or a revolver, like Mr. Stender has under his jacket.
You think I am armed, Mr. Cardone?
Bottle's the only other thing make a bulge like that. You don't look like a drinking man.
You object, then, to my carrying a revolver?
Hadn't given it much thought.
But you object.
I don't have one.
Very well. You shall keep the cartridges. I shall hold the weapon.
Oh, I know that's all the shells you have.
In the same way that I know you are unarmed.
Okay.
You have done a great deal of flying, Mr. Cardone.
Enough.
You flew during the war.
Yeah.
Combat.
71 missions.
Pacific?
Europe.
So. Then you are responsible for the destruction of a great many German cities.
Not directly. I was a fighter pilot.
So? You have shot down many aircraft?
16 and 2 probables.
Probables?
Not recorded by my wing cameras.
You must have been well rewarded by your country.
Never thought of it that way.
I always found your army system of awards and decorations a bit amusing.
We did all right.
But then you weren't professional soldiers.
We won the war, didn't we?
Yes, you did.
The motors.
Sounds bad. I can just get her to catch again. Gotta set her down. Back to your seats. Fasten your belts.
But I
try to lay her in easy.
Can you land?
Get back to your seat. Lucky water's smooth. Hold her up a hair. That's it. How easy? How easy?
Hang on!
Everyone comfortable?
Yes, thank you.
Raft's not the Queen Mary, but it'll keep afloat.
That was excellent flying, Godot.
Oh, we were lucky if the water hadn't been
that
smooth.
Was not luck. That was, what is it, fate?
Maybe.
Did you have time to radio our position?
No.
But surely a ship will pass this way.
Regular shipping channels are about 150 miles west of us. I figure we're drifting about due southwest.
The sail will help some.
Yeah, if the weather holds, we might drift into shipping lanes in 10 to 12 days.
Have we enough food?
I stocked the raft for 2.
What does that mean?
Have to be careful. It won't be like the stork.
The stork?
Oh, nothing.
Do many aircraft fly this route?
Can't count on that.
No, I suppose they follow the shipping lanes, too.
That's right.
Well, we'll just have to make the best of it.
The sun is terribly hot.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here, let me rub some ointment on your face.
You've thought of everything.
It's part of the crash equipment.
Is there enough?
We have one, too.
It is not very much.
Faces get tough in a few days. Won't need it, then.
It is cooling.
You have a lovely face.
cup it with oil?
Even that way.
You should use some.
I don't need it.
Very charming, Mr. Cardone, if somewhat foolhardy.
Mr. Cardone was not trying to be charming.
Gallantry is a luxury he cannot afford.
That is contemptible.
The truth is often contemptible, Lisa.
You'd better use some, Stender.
Thank you.
Your face is quite white.
What do you mean, Cardone?
I don't know.
Are you implying that there is anything unusual about my face?
Why should I? Hey, when'd you eat last, beautiful?
4 o'clock this morning.
It's 12 hours.
Yes.
Okay, time for lunch, eh?
I can wait.
We'll eat now. Won't be much, though.
I am hungry.
Now, let's see. Must be something good on the menu.
I see if I can catch the waiter's eye.
They have very good steaks here.
I'm not really that hungry.
No? How about a nice third of a bar of chocolate, a biscuit, and a swallow of water?
That's exactly what I wanted.
Stender?
Thank you.
Oh, how's it taste?
Wonderful. I love that misty taste in the chocolate.
Army specialists worked years to develop it.
You're not eating, Mr. Stender.
I may have greater need of it tomorrow.
Maybe you won't need it at all. Tomorrow. The first few days weren't so bad, but after that it was pretty tough to take. The sun was blistering hot during the day and we were chilled to the bone at night. We tried to keep the raft bailed out, but our clothes were always wet. By the third day, our legs were covered with ugly sores from the salt water. It was all gone by the fourth day, but it didn't matter much because our faces and arms were as tough and dry as leather. We set up a system of watches, so one of us would always be awake while the other slept. I was standing watch on the sixth night. The sea was calm and the moon was bright. Hungry?
A little.
We have to wait for Stender.
Yes.
Wouldn't be fair.
No.
Someday I'll buy a whole cow.
Don't, Lou.
Sorry. He sure is a funny one.
Funny?
Peculiar. Keeps to himself so much.
That's the way he wants it to be.
He's learned a lot about me.
So have I.
I know nothing about him.
No.
Sometimes I want to hit him for no reason at all.
I know.
He never seems to be as hungry or as thirsty as we are.
He's more careful with his food.
Yeah. How can he sleep so well?
I don't know.
The minute he lies down, he's asleep.
He knows how to relax.
Doesn't anything bother him?
No.
I have a feeling he's laughing at me all the time.
You imagine that.
No, I don't. I'm not the kind of guy who goes around hitting people for no reason.
I know.
Someday, how'd you get mixed up with
it? Please don't ask.
Emily?
Yes.
Tell me about yourself, Lisa.
What do you want to know?
I don't know where you were born, what you were like when you were little, what you believe in. Anything, everything.
You sound like the immigration authorities.
Didn't mean to.
I was born in Vienna on August 8th, 1920, which makes me 28.
29.
Not till August.
Okay.
When I was 14, I was sent to live with my aunt in the United States and finished my education in American schools.
Lucky.
Why?
Because we can talk to each other.
I went back to Austria in the early days of the war.
Why?
I thought I should.
Go on.
The rest isn't nice.
I want to know.
It isn't important.
Okay. What do you believe in?
Myself.
Is that all?
I don't know.
Okay. Okay. A I lost track of time. What difference did it make? As near as I could figure, we'd been in the raft for 10 or 11 days. It was close enough. Our water was almost gone. Our food supply was running low. We used the fishing lines from the crash kit every day, but nothing ever happened. Lisa showed the strain more than Stender and me, and I began sharing my chocolate and biscuits without her knowing. Stender knew and smiled. It was Stender's watch on the 11th day. I was sleeping lightly when I woke with a start and remembered the cartridges from his revolver. I slipped my hand into my pocket. They were gone. I had no idea how many days they'd been missing.
You've lost something, Cardone?
No. No.
I thought I saw you looking
for... It was nothing.
I must have imagined it then.
Yeah. Clouds ahead.
You've seen many such before. They never brought rain.
These are cumulus.
Cumulus?
Rain-bearing.
Perhaps.
If only rain.
It would help.
Sorry we woke you, Lisa.
I was only half asleep.
You feel all right?
Yes.
Here, just wet your mouth with this.
You're getting careless, Cardone.
There's not enough flu.
Take it.
Thank you. How is your sunburn?
It's okay.
You're lucky.
Why?
Your beard gives you some protection.
It's funny.
What, Lou?
No beard.
I do not understand.
Sander.
What do you mean, Cardone?
White skin. No beard.
You have suggested before that there's something unusual about my face.
Maybe there is.
I told you to forget.
All right, Lisa. I'm just beginning to wake up.
You're... How is it? Skating on thin ice, Cardone.
How would you say it in Germany?
These are dangerous words, Cardone.
I don't care. No. Leave us alone, Lisa.
It's raining.
We gotta have this out. Rain.
Rain.
You're cold.
Good.
No. No, just a shower.
Drink all I can.
The sail. Get the sail down.
Drink.
The sail. Catch it in the sail.
Get the sail.
Stretch it out.
Pull the canteen.
Dip it in little tenders. Look out, you're spilling it.
Now it's coming.
Oh. Oh. We were able to fill one canteen and a half, another before the rain stopped, but that was enough to keep us alive for a few more days. A lot of things were beginning to get straightened out in my mind. I was sure now that I'd seen Stender before, the peculiar whiteness of his skin and the lack of hair. Well, if that wasn't plastic surgery, I'd never seen it. I knew I had to be careful because he still had the revolver and the cartridges. It was the 14th or 15th day in the raft. I was half awake. Lisa was bending over me, shielding my face from the sun.
Mr. Stender says you've been sharing your food with me.
Huh? What'd you tell her that for?
I hoped she would see you for what you are.
True. True.
Now, don't waste your strength, Lisa.
Oh, silence, both of you.
No. No.
Silence.
What's the gun?
Silence.
No.
The bird.
What?
Up there, a bird.
Go.
I can just...
Don't
get
shoot yet.
Getting closer.
Wait.
Circling.
Looking for food.
Coming down.
Not yet.
Sees us.
Yeah.
Coming for the raft.
Quickly, Lance.
There.
Right on the raft.
Don't.
Careful.
One shot.
As if you hit the raft.
I am an excellent shot, Cardone.
Got him. Got him.
No.
Food, Lisa, food.
Never any doubt.
Yeah, lucky you had the gun.
Superior mind must do as it thinks best.
Got to take care of the bird.
I thought I detected a note of alarm, Cardone.
Huh?
Yeah, you thought perhaps I had some other use for the revolver?
No, no.
I... Imagination, perhaps.
You know what this means, Stender?
Means
Albert.
You're safe for another few days.
Besides that.
Well?
We're getting near shipping lanes, Stender.
So?
We may get through this.
Yes.
First thing I do will be turn you in.
So?
One thing you can't stand. Be beaten.
You're talking bravely. Considering I have the revolver, my captain. Oh, was it Major?
Colonel Private. Or was it Corporal?
How long do you think you can stand this, Cardone?
As long as you can.
One of us must fall asleep in the end.
It'll be you.
I'm stronger than you.
Maybe.
I've been more careful with my food.
Yeah.
It's been what? 18, 19 hours.
It is so.
And now you are beginning to tire.
No.
Splash some water on your face. It will help keep you awake.
Shut up.
Look at Lisa. Lisa's sleeping. It would be so easy. Just close your eyes.
Shut up.
Your patience is wearing thin, Cazor.
You can't last forever.
You should not allow yourself to become so upset. It uses valuable energy.
I don't get it.
Get it?
This cat and mouse business.
Perhaps I am enjoying myself.
How?
Proving to you conclusively that I am your superior in every way.
So this is what it was all about.
About?
The war.
Your eyes are heavy, Cardone.
Huh?
You will not last much longer.
Okay.
Another hour at the most.
Shut up, sir.
So easy. Just close eyes. Never wake up.
No, you can't.
It's all right, Lisa.
Dear water.
Here, baby. Drink this.
Give water.
You could use that water more than she.
Give water.
Can't last forever. Not in.
All right.
Eyes heavy.
Shrine hold.
Can't last forever.
Superior.
Gonna get the gun.
Stay back.
Gonna beat you.
Superior.
Gonna turn you in. Life.
Superior.
Gonna beat you. Beat you. Beat you. Got his gun. His gun. Got it. Gotta throw it. Throw it. You and me now. You and me. Beat you, Superman. Beat you. Whistle. And whistle. Can't see. Whistle. Ship must be ship. Ship. There's a Stender. Ship. There's a ship. Stender. Stender.
Yes.
That ship. American.
Melvin.
He's coming out of it. Take it easy, son. Here. Drink this.
Everything's all right.
Thanks.
Lie back and rest, son. You're going to be all right.
Lisa. Lisa.
She's safe, too. You're going to be okay.
Where am I?
On board my ship. I'm John Steele, skipper.
Oh. Lisa safe?
Yes. You're both coming along fine.
Both?
Lucky we picked the two of you up when we did.
Two?
Yes. You were both unconscious when we got to you.
Two?
Yes. It's a funny thing. When I first picked you up with my glasses, I thought I saw three people in the raft. When we got close enough to lower a boat, there was just you and the girl.
Couldn't take a beating.
Pardon?
Nothing.
Yes. Now you just lie back and take it easy.
Yeah.
Oh, just one thing more.
Yeah.
I've been holding up my radiogram till you came around.
Yeah?
Any casualties to report?
No. No casualties.
No, I didn't think so. By the way, we found this in your pocket. Thought you might like to have it.
Oh, what is it?
A ring.
Thanks.
Indian good luck charm, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Superman.
John Steele, Adventurer, is produced by Robert Monroe, written and directed by Elliot Drake. Don Douglas is featured as John Steele. Also in tonight's cast were Ross Martin, Connie Lemke, and Earl George. The orchestra was conducted by Sylvan Levin. Sound by Walt Shaver. Remember, next week, Mutual presents Kid Brother, another story of suspense and action from the files of John Steele, Adventurer. Ted Malley speaking. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Now, from the makers of Cold Water Omo.
I'm over here. Please. Please help me. Help.
Keep calling. I'm coming.
Mrs. Peel, thinking that Pandora Marshall had slipped over the cliff edge, started forward.
Please. I'm down here. This way.
Suddenly, Kettridge appeared from nowhere, roaring his motorbike down the cliff path. He skidded it neatly at Mrs. Peel's feet, knocking her backward. She gave a startled scream. She lost her balance, scrabbled wildly at the earth at the top of the cliff, couldn't get a grip and toppled over the edge.
The Avengers. John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers.
We'll be right back.
episode 6 in this story, in which John Steed hears from Mother of Mrs. Peel's fate, and young Watney just can't grasp the significance of the fact that it's all done by middle. The arrival of Pandora Marshall at the lighthouse had certainly brought matters to a head. She'd been invited down there to work with the real Colonel Withers on his experimental telescope. The telescope was an invention that could transmit and receive sounds along a light beam from the lamp of the lighthouse. Pandora had been caught trying to use the telescope to inform Mrs. Peel, who was waiting for Watney on the cliffs. Later, Barlow and Kettridge had forced Pandora to join them in enticing Mrs. Peel into a dangerous position on the edge of the cliffs. It was there that Kettridge, on his motorbike, had successfully forced her over. Barlow, looking down the telescope, saw the whole thing. Kettridge, from the cliff top, waved a signal of victory.
Sir, that's that. One less inquiring woman.
You forced me to do that. Forced me to lure Mrs. Peel to her death.
It's either her death or your own. You were the lucky one.
But this is murder. What did you do with the others? The real Barlow, the Colonel. Did you kill them?
They are under detention in the cellar, and that's exactly where you are going the moment Kettridge gets back
here. But you can't get away with this.
That's enough. Come on. Get down those stairs. Don't try any funny stuff. This gun is loaded, and you know now that a little thing like killing isn't going to stand in my way. Get going.
Out on the top of the cliff, Watney had appeared with Major Sparshot in search of Emma Peel.
It's very strange. She said she'd be waiting.
There's the car.
Mrs. Peel? Emma? Emma, where are you?
Not in the car.
She said she'd be out here, and that she'd heard strange voices calling to her.
Oh, no, not that again.
But it's true, Major Sparshot. I heard them first when Dr. Seligman was killed, and she said she'd be waiting here. There's no other way down. Emma! Mrs. Peel! Emma! No use.
There is one other way down, you know.
Sparshot indicated with a thumb towards the edge of the cliff.
Oh, no. But that's impossible.
Better take a look.
What's this in the gravel? It looks like a wheel mark.
Something skidded and went right off the edge of the cliff. Wait a minute. Look at this. A shoe caught in the turf, right on the edge. That's
Mrs. Peel's. And look, tufts of grass pulled out, all the gravel torn away. As though
someone went over. Did she fall or was she pushed? Now, there's another shoe floating down near those rocks down there. Can you see?
Where? Oh, yes. Yes, it is. What am I going to tell Mother?
Mother was still in the swimming pool when the call came through. As he listened, his already sunburned face became almost as red as the receiver he held to his ear.
What? When? You're quite sure? Have other people verified this? I don't care to just go on your observations.
John Steed, floating nearby, pricked up his ears.
What are the chances? As I see. But you'll keep searching. Right. Oh, yes, I'll give you our instructions, all right. But first things first, a detailed report. Call me as soon as you hear anything. Right.
Well, Mother, what is it?
It's early days.
And just what is that supposed to mean?
I never placed much store by the first report.
Nevertheless, I would like you to confide in me the substance of the first report.
Well, no give. No point in getting alarmed until we know for sure.
Mother.
Have a drink, Steed.
Mother!
I think at the Times I've had it reported and confirmed that you were,
That I was what?
Missing. A drink?
Mrs. Peel?
Temporarily mislaid, I'm sure.
How did it happen?
I haven't got all the facts yet.
Well, just a smattering of facts and circumstances.
Fell over a cliff.
What?
Totally unconfirmed, though.
Was it a high cliff?
Well, moderately.
Yes, I've seen your moderate measures of Scots. Well, what are the chances?
I told you, we don't know for sure.
What are the chances?
Well, if she survived the fall, if she missed the rocks, if she wasn't swept out to sea, I'd say the chances were reasonable. Provided she can make a 5-mile swim, then she could make home. Rather the worse for wear.
The water was deep beneath the cliff, but the currents were swift, and the body in the water at that point would be swept out to sea and round in an arc. Mrs. Peel, knocked half unconscious by the impact with the water, had sense enough to lie still and not fight. She drifted until she noticed that the peak, where the lighthouse stood, was gradually getting nearer. She'd lost her shoes. It made it easier. She struck out in the direction of the shore. Later, much later, and exhausted, she pulled her way up the slippery rocks and lay panting, regaining her strength. The man Kettridge was playing patience when the knock came at the lighthouse door. He scraped back his chair, walked over, and opened it. There was no one there. Kettridge leaned out.
Anyone out here? Hey? Hey!
Mrs. Peel drop-kicked the man squarely in the face as he bent forward. He hurtled inside, hit the far wall, and collapsed. Mrs. Peel picked herself up, closed the door, glanced at the patient's game, put a black two on a red three, stepped over Kettridge, and went investigating.
Not a year's journey on those stairs at this stage of the game.
She noticed a set of steps leading down from the ground floor, but there was no door, or none that she could see, yet there was some form of movement from beyond the wall.
Got to be hollow. Another room beyond. Well, here goes.
Mrs. Peel grabbed an empty coffee mug from a table and began sounding the stonework.
Ah, that's got it. The metal door begins about here.
But before Mrs. Peel could pursue this line of thought, a whole side of the wall swung inwards. Markin, the bodyguard, came out, or attempted to. Mrs. Peel butted him in the stomach, seized him by the neck, and threw him into the room. She closed the door and looked about her. It looked more like a cellar than an ordinary room. A rattle of chains nearby drew her attention. Three figures were manacled to the stone.
Right, hold on. I'll soon have that gag off. Oh, thank heavens. Oh, but Mrs. Peel, the cliff. You went over the cliff. I saw you fall. I was pushed. That was their mistake. I was pushed clear of the rocks. After that, well, I can swim. Let's get these other two so they can speak. Here.
Thank you.
You must be the real Barlow.
Yes,
and
yes.
And he's the real Colonel. Well, hold on, Colonel. Soon have this out of your mouth.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, I'm Colonel Withers.
The others are all imposters, foreign agents. They're stealing secrets from the research establishment. Yes, I guess that much. But how?
With my retrovisor.
I came here to help him with it. That's why I was invited to carry out the interview that brought me down here. It's a tremendous achievement.
It transmits sound along a light beam. All you need is a shiny surface.
And you can receive and transmit. Or eavesdrop. But you can explain the scientific details later. Let's get you out of here.
It doesn't be of any use. You need the key. You'll never break the chains.
I know a man who can open these at the drop of a bowler hat. Oh, I'm afraid you're right. Without the right tools...
Never mind about us. Get the retrometer to fetch help.
Right. Where is it? It's attached to the telescope in the lamp room. The black box on one side. Plug it into the socket on the lamp. Switch on activate.
Focus on any shiny surface that will reflect near the person to whom you want to speak. They will hear your voice. Get them to speak and you will hear theirs. The telephone using light waves.
I see. Right, I'll be as quick as I can.
Mrs. Peel was in luck. Kettridge was still unconscious where she'd left him. There was no sign of the false Barlow. Mrs. Peel made for the circular stairs that led to the tower. It took some time.
362, 363, 364, 365.
The door to the lamp room was open. Mrs. Peel entered so gently that the false Colonel Withers, sitting near the telescope, thought she was one of his men.
Girl, it looks as though our job's finished. We've got all the information we need. We should get out.
Out is the operative word.
What?
Mrs. Peel seized one end of the telescope and, timing it perfectly, swung it round in an arc. The far end caught the bogus Colonel under the chin. As you said, Mrs. Peel, out is the operative word.
Avengers.
Listen every evening, Monday to Friday, to John Steed and Emma Peel, The Avengers. Brought to you by the makers of Coldwater Omo.
Now it's back to John Steele, adventurer, with an episode entitled Salvage.
Take one man with a dream and lock him in the icy depths of the ocean. That's our story, Salvage, taken from the files of John Steele, adventurer.
Hello, friends. This is John Steele. We're back this week to bring you a really unusual story of adventure. This is one of those one-in-a-million tales that you come across once in a lifetime. As I've said before, these stories are not mine, but those of people I've met in my travels. This one happened to a man I'm really proud to know. I first met George McCready when I was in the Navy station in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. But suppose we let him tell his own story. George?
Like father, like son, they say. And that's the way it was with Billy and me. I joined the Navy when I was 17, and when Billy was through with high school, there wasn't any question about what he wanted to do. Only it was a good deal easier for him than it was for me, because his old man was a full commander when he went in. He had spent all his life around Navy bases. I kind of hoped he'd pick deep-sea diving school, so as I could help him along, but he decided on submarines, and I figured that was close enough to suit me. After he was through with his training, I pulled some strings and had him assigned to a sub based at Portsmouth so I could keep an eye on him. That's why I knew he was outside waiting that day, the day I was called over to the medics. It was comforting just to know he was there.
Report back from the lab, George. Thought you'd want to know the score.
Hey, number one, huh, Harry?
Well, you're not in bad shape for an old guy.
What do you mean, old? You were a chief when I was a second-class seaman.
Yeah, but I've been sitting behind this desk for the last 10 years while you've been out doing a young man's work.
What are you working around to?
George, we've known each other for quite some
time. Give me the facts.
Okay. Your diving days are over.
Bad as that, huh?
I'm afraid so.
It's funny, I feel great.
I know you do. That last case of the bends was the straw.
Pump, huh?
Well, the heart's a delicate instrument. It can take just so much abuse, and then it quits.
It was only a mild attack. I was over it as soon as they stuck me in the recompression.
I know.
I'll use a helium suit.
Helium, nitrogen, what's the difference? Bring you up to the surface too quick just once, and that's it.
Yeah.
You quit now, and you're good for another 15 or 20 years. But one quick ascent, and I couldn't guarantee anything beyond a year.
Year?
That's all, maybe less.
Yeah.
I'm forwarding this report to the captain, George. He'll probably call you in a few days.
George? What's dope, Pop?
Not good, huh?
Not bad.
What do you think you're for?
Nothing serious.
Well, think
wait till we get outside.
Well?
Square that hat, sailor.
Oh, sorry.
No self-respecting sailor.
Sailor walks around with his hat cockeyed. Come on, skipper. What'd the doc say?
Well, you see, us underwater sailors got some problems you guys don't know anything about.
Like, what's the estimated lead given the target moving at 16 knots, half a mile range?
Any young punk can fire a torpedo.
Sure, that's why they make all the young punk submarine commanders.
Just like setting off a firecracker. I gave that up when I was 6.
You couldn't stand the noise.
I don't know what makes you fish jockeys so cocky.
You know, I heard they made those divers' helmets out of metal to keep their heads from swelling. Okay. Now, give me the straight stuff.
What do you mean?
What'd the doc say?
He said... Oh, go sail your boat.
Come on.
I wish I could.
Can't. Okay.
Is said no more diving.
That's a tough assignment, Skipper.
Well, I've been getting a little sick of it.
Like I'm sick of Betty Grable.
I'm on the level.
I know, Skip.
Had to come sometime.
Yeah?
Probably lucky I lasted this long.
You lasted because you're the best.
Where'd you hear that?
You told me.
Well, don't you forget it.
You won't let me.
Maybe I'll transfer to the...
No, don't start that.
They're either too young to know what's good for them or too old to care.
You don't have to kid, Pop.
Coming home for dinner tonight?
No, I don't think we'll be back in time.
Run's still scheduled?
We're shoving off 1400.
In this weather?
No, it's just a test run, routine stuff.
Well, what are you doing here?
Mr. Halsey gave me an hour of liberty.
You should be helping to nail her down.
All my work was done.
Well, get going now. You'll be late.
I'll be 10 minutes early.
Well, get going anyway.
Okay. We'll talk about this more later, Pop.
Billy.
Yeah?
Not a word of this to your mother.
You know me, Pop.
Keep your feet dry.
That you, George?
Yeah, honey.
Glad you got home before the storm.
Real Navy wife.
Barometer's been dropping all afternoon.
You pay more attention to that barometer than you do to your old man.
Meaning?
Death.
When are you going to grow up?
Maybe next year.
Don't you dare.
Saw Billy over at the base this afternoon.
Will he be home for supper?
Said not to wait for him. Probably be late.
And I got double chops for him, too.
Chops? When do we eat?
Supper will be ready in 15 minutes. Papers in on your chair.
Thanks. I'm ready, huh?
Al O'Brien was over raking up the front yard this afternoon.
Oh, you shouldn't have let him do it, honey.
I tried to stop him.
Well?
You know how he feels about you.
That's silly. A long time ago.
He can't help it.
Didn't save young Al anyway.
Doesn't make any difference to him. He says if anyone could have saved him, it was you.
Just doing my job.
Doing your job. You know you should have gotten a Navy Cross for the S4.
Cross wouldn't have made up for 40 men lost.
Of course not, but you risked your life.
Now, Martha...
You did and you should have...
It's not important now.
No, guess it isn't.
No?
You'll get another chance, George.
Maybe.
And when you do, I know you'll...
We interrupt this program to bring you a special announcement. The Navy Department has just announced that the tenderfalling has rammed and sunk the submarine Sarpent 5 miles east of Portsmouth.
George, that's Billy.
Be quiet.
Sarpent is believed to have had a crew of 56 naval officers and men and 2 civilian technicians on board at the time of the collision.
Gotta call the base.
Further details will be brought to you as soon as they are available. We return you now to the program to which we...
Listen, Martha, it may not be as serious as you think.
Billy.
All those men have been trained with the Monson lung. They can get out with an even break.
Yes.
Now, that's better. Now, we'd like to call the base. Line's busy.
Keep Portsmouth Navy Base.
Get me Captain Steele.
I'm sorry, sir. I have orders not to accept calls from the captain.
This is Commander McCready speaking.
I'm sorry, Commander.
My son's on that sub.
Just a moment, Commander. I'll try to connect you. Go ahead, please.
Captain Steele.
This is McCready, Captain.
Yes, McCready. Sorry, I have no news for you.
No news?
The falling stayed over till her phone buoy came up, so we have a line on her. That's all I can tell you for now.
Well, how deep is...
It's over 30 fathoms of water by the chart.
200 feet.
It's deep. We've alerted the entire eastern seaboard. Salvage crews are being rushed as fast as possible.
Captain, can I...
Sorry, McCready. I've got your medical report on my desk right in front of me. I couldn't take a chance. Besides, the Falcon shoved off 15 minutes ago.
But the Falcon short-handed with Sauron leave and me...
We've done all we can for tonight. We should have help by morning.
But, Captain...
I know how you feel, but rest assured, we're doing everything possible.
Yeah. Thanks, Captain.
What did he say?
Well, everything's going to be all right, Martha. All we got to do is wait. Why don't you try to sleep, Martha?
I'm all right.
You don't just wear yourself out.
Every time I close my eyes...
Now, that's no way to think. You gotta hope for the best.
It's getting light.
Just lie down here on the couch. I'll cover you with a blanket. That's better.
House is cold.
Yeah, I'll put another log on. Have some heat in a minute.
Can't understand why they let the Fulton go out without you.
I told you, I didn't have time. They wanted to get that telephone boy on board before the line snapped. Probably send me out at dawn.
Then why don't they call? You should be getting ready.
They will.
What time is it?
Almost 5. Clock's fast.
Time for the news.
Yeah, I'll turn it on.
O'clock and time for the hourly news summary of the news. The Navy Department has released no further information on the fate of the 58 men trapped on the submarine Sovereign sunk yesterday afternoon in a collision off Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
Martha.
The interest of the entire nation is centered on the small Navy base at Portsmouth, where rescue operations were halted by darkness.
Good.
The Navy Department has been swamped by telegrams and telephone calls.
Navy base.
This is Commander McCready.
Yes, Commander.
Is Captain Steele on duty?
He's been here all night, sir.
Can I speak to him?
I'll try to connect you.
Thanks.
Go ahead, please.
Yes, McCready.
Sorry to bother you, Captain.
It's all right. I understand.
Any news?
We know that there were 33 men alive in the control compartment amidship.
What about the men up forward?
Don't know. Sea was heavy and the telephone line snapped right after the fog and got the buoy aboard. We've been trying to reach them by radio, but so far we haven't made contact.
Captain.
No, McCready.
Couldn't I just go out in 10 lines or something?
I know how you feel.
Let me go, Captain.
Be here at 7.
Thanks. Thanks. By 9 o'clock, we were circling the Falcon, waiting for a lull in the gale so we could board her. At last, the wind let up enough for us to try a landing. Coast Guardsman brought her in close as he dared, and we jumped aboard. By noon, the gale was blowing out to sea, and around 2, Commander Norton, skipper of the Falcon, was getting ready to put a diver over the side.
Who's going down, Norton?
Collins, Captain.
Collins?
Best we got, George.
Well, he's never made a deep dive.
Sauer's being flown back from Lee, but he won't get in till tomorrow.
We gotta get an airline down there. That'll keep the men alive till we get help.
Where's Collins?
Aft by the stage. They're dressing him now.
Mind if I talk to him?
Wish you would.
Thanks. Hi, Collins.
Hello, Mr. McCready.
How do you feel?
Okay, I guess.
Nothing to worry about. Sea's still rough, but we'll be able to handle you okay.
Yes, sir.
We don't know where the grapnel caught, but the first thing you do, unlock that grapnel and tie it securely to the sub.
Yes.
You got to do just one job. Get those airlines connected.
I know.
One more thing. This isn't much difference from a 100-foot dive. You just got a little more compensating to do. Keep increasing your air pressure as you go down, or the water will squeeze you to death. But don't get too much pressure, or you'll blow yourself topside like a balloon.
I understand.
Okay, kid, good luck.
McCready?
Yeah?
Would you do me a favor?
Sure, kid.
Pin my phone for me.
Glad to. Watch your head. Here comes your lid. Phone check.
Phone check.
Intake.
Check.
Exhaust.
Check.
On your feet, kid. I'll help you on the stage. Hang on. Buddy Marvin! Up, up, steady. Now starboard. More. Steady. Hand me that phone, sailor. Can you hear me, Collins?
Yes, sir.
Reach out and grab that descending line.
Right.
Good. Let him down easy. Easy, I said. How's it feel, kid?
Pain.
As soon as you get down 100 feet, we'll stop the stage.
Right.
What's your 10 deck?
Yes, sir.
That's about 75. Steady, winch. Steady. That's it. Okay, Collins, off the stage.
Water's hugging me.
Take on a little more air. Not too much. Want to feel that suit against you, but no pressure. Better?
Yes, sir.
Now slide down the descending line.
Right.
Keep your free hand on the intake valve.
Right.
Keep eating, a little at a time, nice and easy. Want to do a good job, kid. Steele and Norton are right behind me watching.
You want to swap?
A little at a time. Easy, easy.
Down.
Where are you?
Can't tell.
What's your visibility?
About 3 feet.
Secure that descending line.
Doing it now. There.
She heeled over?
No.
she's sitting up straight. I seem to be after the conning tower.
Work your way forward. Slow, though. Watch your footing. Don't worry, we got your lines up taut. You using your light?
Yeah.
See anything?
Not yet. Did you say it was going to be cold?
Just pretend you're taking your Saturday night bath.
Yeah. Something ahead. Looks like the tower.
Give her a couple of raps, kid. Let them know you're there.
Right, sir.
Collins?
No answer.
Try again.
Nothing.
Let's get that air into him.
Right.
Work around to the port side.
Yes, sir.
You find the high-low hatch?
Water's hugging again.
Take on more air.
Yeah.
Just bleed it in. Want to feel the suit? Okay?
Yeah. There's a hatch.
Work off the cover. How you doing?
It's coming. Okay, sir.
Now couple your lines. Intake to the high, exhaust to the low. Take it easy, son. You're almost done.
It's cold.
I know.
Water's hugging.
Better not take any more air. Can you work?
Yeah. Okay, intake's connected. Try for leaks.
Start your intake pump. Any leaks?
Nope.
Get your other line, Cobble.
Water's pressing.
Work fast, kid.
Yeah. Okay, exhaust connector, check for leaks.
Start your exhaust pump. Any leaks? Collins. Collins. Pull him up! Quick, pull him up!
Morning's holding, Norton.
Seem to be, Captain.
Hope they'll last till morning.
Yeah. Bad break this weather closing in again.
Blowing worse than before.
Yeah. How's Collins, Captain?
Won't be able to dive for a month.
Where is he, George?
Left him in the sick bay. He was resting comfortably. Any radio contact?
No.
You know what the litmus test showed?
That exhaust air had 7% carbon dioxide.
It's not fatal till 10%.
7 is over the critical line.
They could just be unconscious.
Yes, they could be.
Then the fresh air would revive them.
It could.
Captain.
Yes, MacReady.
I have to go down.
Those men have been down there for 36 hours.
It's 30 degrees Fahrenheit at the bottom. They'll die of exposure unless we get them out.
I can't risk your life on what may be a hopeless mission.
They can't hold out much longer. Sauer's grounded in Chicago. The Carmet put in at New London. Help won't get to us for 2 days. That'll be too late.
Yes.
If we get 1 hour of diving weather tomorrow, that's all I need.
Norton?
The diver's job's easy, Captain. MacReady could do it blindfolded.
You know what the medical report said? One more case of the bends and you'll be...
I know.
All right. On one condition.
Yeah?
When you get down, you rap on the sub. If you get an answer, you go ahead. If you don't, we pull you up right away.
Thanks, Captain. The gale blew itself out during the night. By 10 o'clock, the sea had smoothed down enough for me to go over the side. Jump was easy. Attached to my diving suit was a hauling down wire. All I had to do was secure that wire to the center of the hatch and the soffit. Then the rescue belt could slide down the wire and seat itself on the deck of the sub right over the hatch. The last thing I saw as I went over the side was Captain Steele taking my telephone line. I guess he didn't trust me to keep my end of the bargain.
How's it feel, MacReady?
Cold.
We let you down easy stages.
Okay.
No point in rushing now.
Yeah.
I'll let you know the 25-foot levels.
Okay.
That's your first one.
Right.
If you start to feel dizzy when you get down, stop working till it passes.
I'm okay. No oxygen jag with a helium suit.
Just be careful.
Okay.
There's your 50 feet.
Right.
Start taking on oxygen.
Right.
Not too much.
I know.
There's 75.
Yeah.
Rest?
No.
When you get to 100, take a rest before you leave the stage.
If I need it.
There's your 100.
Okay.
Take it easy.
I'm going on down.
All right.
Visibility's getting bad.
Your line's free of the stage?
Yeah.
I'll keep calling your depth.
Okay.
There's 125.
Right.
Start breathing your oxygen.
Right.
How's the temperature?
It's all right in the suit. Hands are cold.
There's 150.
Okay.
What's your visibility?
About 15 feet.
Be less than the bottom.
Yeah.
What's your oxygen?
I am.
There's 175.
Slow her up.
Right.
Had Collins out at 190.
Right. You hit yet?
No. Bottom.
Take a rest, McCready.
I'm okay.
What's visibility?
About 10 feet.
Could be worse.
Yeah.
How's your oxygen?
Okay. Keep my lines taut and moving forward.
Right. She's still upright?
Yeah.
See the tower yet?
Not yet.
Take it easy.
Right. There's the tower.
Good.
Another 10 feet.
Take your time.
There's Collins Airlines.
Okay.
Give me a little play in my lines.
Right.
I'm going to say hello.
Any answer?
Not yet.
Try it again.
Right. No.
Again?
Yeah.
They answered?
Not yet.
I'm going to bring you up, Mac.
Captain.
We agreed.
But...
they'd have answered by now.
Captain. They're answering.
Talk to them, Mac.
Yeah. Oh. Many... alive... Still 30 alive.
Good. Get to work on that wire, Mac.
Yeah. Just a minute, Captain. How are men aboard? Give me more slack, Captain.
You want a cup?
Give me more slack.
Right.
There's where she was hit.
Near the hatch?
Just forward.
Can you secure the wire?
Yeah.
Take your time. You okay, Mac?
Suit's leaking. Must have snagged on the wreck.
Matt?
No, give me more air. Pressure will keep the water out.
Be careful.
Yeah, give me more.
If you take any more, you'll blow yourself topside.
I'll hang on with one hand, work with the other. More air.
Still leaking?
Give me more.
Did you bring you up, Mac?
Almost finished. More air.
Got it, Mac? Got it? Yeah. Brady, your lines are slack. Back, you're blowing up.
Submarine sergeant. Commander MacReady descended to the sunken craft against the instructions of the medical officer and a great personal risk. Knowing that his son was lost on the Sarpent, he continued his rescue efforts. Gripping his diving suit on the damaged craft, he clung with one hand on the wreck while completing his mission. By his initiative and resourcefulness throughout this hazardous assignment, which resulted in the rescue of 30 survivors, Commander MacReady upheld the highest traditions of the United States Naval Service. For the President, Secretary of the Navy. Congratulations, Commander.
Thank you, Captain.
We're proud of you, George.
Yeah. Is that all there is to it?
That's all.
Yeah. Well, thanks, Captain.
Thank you, Mac.
See? That wasn't so bad, was it?
No. No.
Hi, Mr. MacReady.
Oh. Oh, hello, Collins. Meet Mrs. MacReady.
Hello, Collins.
How do, ma'am? I heard about the cross. Been waiting to say congratulations to you.
Oh. Yeah, thanks, son.
Doc says I'll be ready to dive in a couple of weeks.
Good. Better hurry up. Got a lot to teach you.
What's the rush? You got all the time in the world.
Yeah. Of course, all the time in the world. But come on, Martha. It's getting late.
Title, Salvage. The story of a man who made a deal with the sea and traded one for 30. And if you like George's story, why not come back next week, friends? I'll have four people who had an unusual adventure on the steps of a cathedral in the big city with a man who left before he came. I like to call it Witness. So until next week, this is John Steele saying, a life of adventure is yours for the asking, wherever you find it. Only, don't look for it. It may find you. Well, so long and good hunting.
John Steele Adventurer is produced by Robert Monroe, written and directed by Elliot Drake. Jim Bowles was heard as George MacReady. Also in our cast were Abby Lewis, Ross Martin, and Jack Orison. John Steele was played by Don Douglas. The orchestra was conducted by Sylvan Levin. Your announcer, Ted Melly. Remember, next week, Mutual presents Witness, another story of suspense and action from the files of John Steele Adventurer.
Have a good evening and come back again next week. This has been Bill Holwig from West Texas for Broken Sea Audio Productions. www.brokensea.com. Good evening. Good evening. The music for tonight's episode was composed by Brian of Seraphic Panoply and Stevie Farnaby.